Cultivated Being Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Cultivated Being Podcast. This is the podcast where two brothers who happen to be holistic doctors talk about the art, philosophy, and science of living well. This is a podcast for cultivating your being. This is creating the soil for life to thrive. I'm one of your hosts, Dr. Jay Cadd. With me, as always, is my brother, Dr. Nick.
Hey, you might not be able to tell a difference from our voices. We get that. But if anything that is being said that's smart, it was Dr. Nick Hyde. That's how you can remember.
For the record, that's your filter right there. You've heard it from Nick himself. Nick, how are you doing today? It's been 2 weeks since we've done a pod, and I've missed you, man.
I know. It's been busy times for us, I'm sure. Jake has a new baby. And
dude. But that's no excuse. Nick, what's your excuse?
That is my excuse.
That's your excuse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been hard to record stuff, for sure. But, you know, life's a little bit crazy now. None of us are on our normal routines or anything like that, so we're figuring it out. I went back to work in, like, some clinical hours. I don't know about you, Nick, out in California, but, you know, it's weird getting back out there after a couple months off, essentially.
I never took the time off. I was pretty certain. Well, I follow the president of our board in California, and I know that he stayed open. And I was like, if he's staying open, I'm going to. So I never shut down.
Good enough. Were your hours reduced at all? Or
yeah, no, I've changed my hours quite a bit because I might as well cluster all my patients together, because I have been reduced, like what I'm seeing, you know, obviously for obvious reasons. But
so what you want to make sure you have as much patient overlap and interaction, as much people congregating together in your office as possible. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that is.
Okay. That's what I thought you were saying.
Yeah. A bunch of healthy people with healthy germs sharing all the benefits of that.
That's true. Let's not forget how important it is to have germ exposure. Let's not forget. That's my comment. Let's just take a moment to remember how important it is for germ exposure. Because that's the truth is, a lot of things biologically, it's like if you don't use it, you lose it, that type of mentality. And that's pretty valid with a lot of things in the body. Like glands, it's secrete important chemicals, hormones, neurotransmitters, like you got to use them, not overuse them, right? There's the balance. There's the sweet spot where they perform optimally. But that's also true with your immune system. Like it needs to be challenged. It needs to be engaged. It needs to have interaction with your environment. And that includes the microbes and pathogens that you encounter. So super sanitizing your life is not in your best interest if you don't want to be sick.
Yeah.
Am I right, Nick? You want to sanitize where appropriate, and you want to take proper caution when it comes to more dangerous, right? And there's a scale. If you work in a lab that studies deadly pathogens.
Yeah, yeah. You want to be very sanitary.
Yeah, you wear a hazmat suit and you spray yourself in and out of those rooms. You work with like the robots and the gloves and everything. But you know, if you're a healthy person living life, like you do want to get out in the world and you do want to experience foreign bacterium as well as foreign viruses. And you got to just get out in the world to do that. Get your hands in some dirt, swim in the ocean, you know, go to a grocery store.
Yeah. This is what I go back to every patient that I've ever had. There are three essential things for the health of a cell. So you're made up of a lot of cells. And it's the
roughly 50 trillion or so.
Yeah, it's the basic building block of your health along with your body. And each cell needs three things.
I'm going to take notes.
Number one, the number one most important thing a cell needs is oxygen.
Yes.
That's why you have to breathe so much in a day. Number one reason.
I was wondering about that, but that makes sense now.
Number two is it needs ATP, which it can get from glucose or ketones or whatever.
Are you talking about adenosine triphosphate?
Yep, that's the one.
Okay, and that's because that is what our cells ultimately use for energy. So your cells don't use cheeseburgers for energy. It breaks those down into one of two molecules, right?
Yeah.
Essentially glycogen or glucose, you say like carbs or sugars, or ketones, which is broken down from lipids or fats, right?
Exactly. Precisely.
Nick, I'll let you finish your three things.
Yeah, we're getting to the most important one for this topic right here.
Love.
Third. Yeah, that's number four. The third is stimulation.
Ooh.
Every cell in your body needs to be stimulated in order to stay healthy. If it doesn't get stimulated, it dies.
Dang.
So, okay. So this is why, exercise, you think about it like exercise, right? Every person needs to have exercise in order to be healthy. Yeah, we know that. Every cell needs to have exercise in order to be healthy.
Okay, so what's healthy for the body as a whole is also healthy for like its individual parts.
Totally.
Okay, so oxygen, good things for oxygen, going outside. Taking breaths, not wearing, I don't know, things that get in the way of you breathing well. Like, let's just say masks.
Yeah, you could say that.
Okay. Okay.
Many political leaders have said that.
Okay. And so one could. We're not making an official statement on this pod, but we'll officially say one can say that masks inhibit oxygen into your body,
which is the reason why majority of policies currently have said that children should not wear masks.
Right. I think I saw the CDC recommend children over two and
above. Yeah, which is insane. Yeah, can you imagine with your baby putting a mask on your baby's face? And
can you imagine having a 4-year-old? And sure, they'll comply and wear a mask, but can you tell them, like, also don't touch your face? Because wearing a mask is only helpful if you're not touching your face. And 4-year-olds can't keep their hands out of their pants. How are you going to keep them touching their face?
Yeah. Handcuffs, obviously.
Just put them in straitjackets.
Yep.
All right. Okay, oxygen. How do you get more ATP in your life?
Clearly, you have to eat more.
Yep. Just the more you eat, the more energy you have. Joel.
Mixed drinks are a good source of sugars. So I would
recommend.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's a source.
Okay. Yeah, that's a way to get some simple sugars. I mean, if it's a Bloody Mary, you're getting also essential minerals, which you didn't talk about in your list of three things, but pretty sure cells don't work without minerals because, like, they need the minerals for basically the porousness of a cell, the exchange of things from the outside, inside, inside, outside, right? You need some mineral channels.
All right, Jake. Well, of course.
Let's make a list.
You can say. Yeah, there are lots of things you can say. But these
So Bloody Marys.
These are the three most important because they will absolutely kill the cell. You know, if you don't have oxygen in a cell.
You know,
days.
Like fairly quickly those cells die without these things. Yeah. Because it depletes them quickly too. Like it goes through oxygen, it goes through ATP quickly. All right. Stimulation. So how do you stimulate a cell? You just massage each one individually?
That would work, actually. If you could reach all of them, that would probably be pretty good. But no,
you could do that with cold lasers in a way.
You could, yeah. You'd have to laser the whole body, but yeah, you could do that.
Well, other ways to do it.
So think about it. Your ankle, the cells are surrounding your ankle, the muscles that surround your ankle, tendons, ligaments, cartilage, bone. You need to walk on your ankle for those to be stimulated. This is one reason why one of the surest ways to prevent bone thinning is weight training. Because now you're using resistance and your bones are getting activated and they're like, we have to stay thick. We need to. So they do.
Yeah, what do they call that? It's called like Wolf's Law or something, if I'm remembering school correctly.
Yeah.
So that might be, you can fact check us. We love being fact checked. But off the top of my head, Wolf's Law. And that's why it's really important. So people that are more predisposed, or if you're worried about being osteopenic or osteoporotic, right? If it's like my mom had osteoporosis, I don't want that. Like, you need to move heavy stuff with your body. The more you strain your bones, the more they reinforce themselves. And you really don't have your whole life to do that. Like most of the structure that gets laid down, you know, happens before like 35 to 40 years old. Not that you can't benefit yourself after that, but like a lot of the work's done in your youth. So it's important to do weight bearing exercises and lift some heavy things from time to time when you're young.
We'll switch gears here to neurology because I love neurology. But here's a great example. The parts of your brain that have to do with math need to do math in order to be stimulated. This is why a lot of people, early signs of dementia and Alzheimer's go missed, because the people have already been avoiding the things that they're not very good at for a lot of years. And so they'll just say to themselves, this person never splits the tip or whatever. They don't, they never do the math for like what it's going to cost to, go to a restaurant. They don't do the math because they haven't done it for so long. And then they start to identify with, well, I've never been good at math or blah, blah, blah. And now no one sees them when they would make a grievous error in their math because they're having early signs of dementia because they don't do it, So this is a great example. We need to do every part of our brain needs to be stimulated at some point. It doesn't have to be every part of the day, but we need to go back and stimulate certain things. All the areas of our brain have different things to do, right?
Something I think about, it's classic. I've seen people do this in movie TVs, but I've seen it in real life where it's just like, you're like, oh, I guess I'm having a senior moment. You forget where you put the keys, you forget how to do a thing, you forget some name of something or whatever. It's like, I'm having a senior moment. To me, it's like you're having a wake-up call to work on your brain.
Yeah.
While you have a chance to make a big difference. So when you're having a diminishment of a skill or something that you were used, like some kind of function that you were accustomed to having and now you've lost that function, it's not like it's like I should probably do something about this, because you can do a lot to prevent it, or like to not prevent, to like create optimum neural health functioning in your body. There's a lot that you can do.
Yes. So let's talk about this for even more of a moment. Okay. So, here is another thing. Okay. Say you're bad at math, which is generally a frontal left brain kind of thing that you have to do. There's other types of math, geometry that's not that, but say you're doing like just general arithmetic. Well, maybe your arithmetic is so bad and it's been so long. Maybe you've never done a Sudoku or anything else mathematic, like music, or let's just say it's been a really long time. You don't even bake and you have to come up with new measurements or something like that. Okay. Well, what's cool about the brain is anytime you stimulate that region, all of those cells get stimulation, they get oxygen, they get glucose. Why does this happen? Because when you stimulate some place of your brain, blood has to go there. Blood has to go there. Now, the thing that people are like, well, that makes whole sense to me. Blood isn't going everywhere for every one of you at all times of your brain. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in your hands. If you get cold hands and feet, you get a cold brain, you get a cold gut. Guaranteed. That is what's happening. And so what's really cool is it's like, generally for the most part, the way to stimulate a certain region of your brain is to do that activity. For instance, if your balance is getting worse, well, do a little bit of balance. Stand on one foot for a little bit. Try to walk in a line, you know. But what's cool is when you work on your balance, you also work on your coordination, and you don't even have to be aware of that. But as you're doing that, all this blood goes to the back of your brain and your, you know, cerebellum, and now also language gets better and your eye movement gets better, and it's easier for you to form sentences because you have to coordinate your sentences the way you say it, the way your mouth forms as you do it. All these things that you don't necessarily notice are improving just because you did a balance exercise. So
I love it. Yeah. And get yourself a BOSU ball, or most of you don't have good enough balance anyway for that. So just go barefoot in your living room on some carpet and stand on one foot and try and do like twisting activities with your core. Just try and move your body around.
Yeah. But I won't overemphasize this because you can't. Like, I'll tell you what, I helped some guy who hadn't been able to smell in 30 years because he had facial reconstruction surgery. All I did was I was like, do you remember the smell of peppermint? And he was like, yeah, I remember that. And I had him smell a peppermint essential oil. I'm like, take a big whiff of this. Remember the smell of peppermint. And we had him do that exercise for a week. And all of a sudden he could smell again. No joke. Why? Because we were stimulating every aspect of that we could. The nerve was getting all of a sudden a whole rush of blood, oxygen, stimulation, glucose, all that stuff. And he actually relearned how to smell. Now that's cool, because if anyone's listening to this and you know you have a weak point and you're able to identify it, sweet. Well, that's awesome. You could work on that. And you don't have to do exactly the thing that you hate the most in order to work on it, but something like that. And it's important because, you know, it's hard. I don't even want to say that we're able to make new nerve cells, because most of the research says that we can't. But we could always make what?
Parts of the brain we know now definitively you can make new cells.
Yeah, but for most of your nerve cells throughout your body, we haven't had the research that says that you could do that. But what we do have very definitively is you could always make new nerve connections. So we've seen in all of our research, right, if there's a row of these three nerve cells that have to connect and the middle one dies, the first one will find a way to build a new branch and connect to the third one. It'll go around the second one that's dead. That's really cool.
Super cool.
And I saw a really cool research. We were going through slices of, you know, brain scans and seeing these different brains that were like, they looked like Swiss cheese because so many of the regions of the brain had just destroyed with different neurological degenerative diseases like Parkinson's, for instance. And the one that was so amazing was that they were able to do the study with these two people who had exactly the same Parkinson's presentation. So they had exactly the same tremor, exactly the same stiffness and whatever else. And you could quantify it and qualify it that it was like, this is the same exact presentation. And then they took brain scans, and one of them, it looked like their brain was completely gone. And the other one, their brain looked like a totally healthy, normal person's brain. Now, what was interesting, so they're looking at it and it's like, why are these people so different? One of them was a professor and he used his brain a lot. Mm-hmm. And he was doing he's building up all these presentations, and they discovered that this professor probably had this degeneration happening in his brain for decades before the other person, who didn't do any stimulation, didn't do any brain activities and whatever. And so they had the same presentation, although the professor had the disease for probably decades longer, meaning he had already prolonged his life by years and years and years, which is super cool. So it ain't over till it's over. You know what I'm saying?
It is cool. I remember in school seeing a study looking at maybe contributing factors towards dementia or Alzheimer's. And they're trying to make correlations. It's like a 10,000 person study, and some interesting findings were people that walked a lot were like 30 to 40% less likely to have dementia or Alzheimer's. So like the average, like 2 miles a day, which is a lot of walking. I think that's pretty cool. The other one that I thought was even more cool is people that averaged at least 2 meaningful conversations. And I don't know what defines meaningful, but like a real conversation. You converse, you talk, you debate, I don't know. But people that average 2 conversations a day had like a 40% less chance of getting Alzheimer's or, you know, dementia or whatever. How cool is that? Because walking kind of makes sense. You and I understand the neurology and like how stimulating to the brain just movement is, especially cross-crawl movements like walking. But 2 meaningful conversations, how cool is that?
That's amazing. So, I mean, we already have like a lot of actionable things for people to do following this thing. Make a list. I think everyone should do something. Call somebody you've been meaning to call and really catch up and talk about the deep stuff with them. Don't just, you know, but really engage. And
anytime we talk about brain health, we should talk about the most important things to supplement for your brain, or maybe most useful. Important would be omega-3 fatty acids, particularly DHA and or EPA. And that's essential in my opinion. But what's also helpful is turmeric or curcumin, which is the enzyme you want from turmeric, the spice, green tea or green tea extract you can supplement with, blueberries or other purpley things.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say ginkgo biloba, because Nick's talking about circulation, like the blood supply of your brain is really important. And ginkgo has been shown to greatly improve the vascular health of the brain. So I'll add that in there.
100%. I want to go off of what Jake's saying for just a second here, because usually when somebody comes to me and they have like some chronic issue in a region, my number one question I'm going to ask to not them, but my clinical brain is, are they getting adequate blood flow to that area? Because if they're not, that's step number one. And Jake's exactly right. Like ginkgo is amazing for that. I also do like cayenne extracts kind of stuff. Cacao, maca.
People can be sensitive to those things.
Mm.
But yeah, those are great. But you might have a sensitivity to cacao or caffeine or lectins and cayenne. But yeah, Nick, it's not wrong. But you should, you know, experiment and pay attention to how you feel. Nick.
Yes.
Speaking of supplements, should we move into our world famous segment on our podcast?
Yeah.
Guess what the news told me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think it was a couple months ago, maybe February, you and I talked about the coronavirus coming out of China, right? It wasn't a big deal, but we were talking about naturally boosting your immunity. You know, you and I are way ahead of the curve, not a big deal, but we look after our listeners' interests. We were talking about it forever ago. One of the things we talked about be super important is vitamin D. You remember talking about this?
I'd love talking about vitamin D, but I don't remember this specifically yet.
Okay. Let me just remind you a little bit. So vitamin D, vital important to immune system function. It's important to a lot of functioning in the body. It's like a huge multitasker. It's very important. a little bit of recap on it. It's called a vitamin, but it's technically a pre-hormone because we can synthesize it ourselves. We typically synthesize it with specific UV light stimulation. So that's why they say, like, you get vitamin D from the sun. You get vitamin D from your body, but the sun is kind of the trigger that has your body synthesizing it, right? Now, super important for immune system function. And we talked about it on the show. We talked about coconut oil too, I think, for coronavirus. But they since published studies where they're looking at the people who unfortunately died because of COVID-19. And they are largely and almost unanimously vitamin D deficient. So that's kind of an urge to, tell people, hey, make sure you're getting your vitamin D, which admittedly is hard in the winter. That's part of why, there's other reasons, but that's part of why your immune system's worse in the wintertime. You get less sun exposure. Now, that being said, Nick, guess what the news told me?
What?
Too much vitamin D could kill you. What? Or make you sick. No, they didn't say kill you, I don't think, but they said dangerous. You ready to talk about this?
Yeah, I'm curious.
Nick's curiosity peak. I'm letting Nick kind of fester through this because this was in the news. And so I fell for it. I clicked on it, you know? And it's just like my homepage or my web browser or my phone just like just knows because it's Google. I use Google and they listen to me because I have a Google Home probably. They know me really well. And so I get articles that I
about vitamin D.
I get, that's all I ever talk about. So, you know, I get these articles that are really irresistible for me to click on. So I do it. Also, by the way, Google admits to listening on you, which means all those platforms do. Anyway, that's another conversation. Cause we always joke like they must be listening because
yeah.
How else would they have like put this in my feed?
They are.
They admitted it. Anyway. And
if it's not Google, it's China. I know because I have a friend who worked for this company that was part Chinese and he found out about it and they fired him. No joke. He found out that they went through every single one of his text messages on his phone. They had a whole department for it. It's getting freaky. Yeah. I just learned about this yesterday, so I'm not that super hot.
All right.
Hot about it.
Nick and I are putting it on the line for you guys right now. All right. Anyway, the point is I clicked on it. And so I was like, oh man, vitamin D could be dangerous. And it's talking about mega dosing. And I've honestly recommended mega dosing. So I'm like, okay, what's the latest like study or whatever? Cause we've talked about on the show, when I start to get sick, I'll take day one or when I'm feeling even like I might be getting sick. That's when I usually, you know, I go full like protocol to not be sick, but I'll take 50,000 IUs, independent units of vitamin D3. Why do I do that? Just like give my system a jolt, you know, kind of a kick in the pants. I don't take 50,000 IUs every day. If anything, I'll take it maybe 2 or 3 days in a row. If I'm still like feeling somewhat symptomatic, like, you know, like I'm fighting something. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, this article indicated in its research that people who take 60,000 IUs of vitamin D for up to 3 months, so it's 60,000 IUs a day for up to 3 months, may experience vitamin D toxicity, which would lead to just like nausea, cramping, diarrhea, or whatever. That was the whole article, Nick. So this headline was like, mega dosing vitamin D is dangerous. And then it said, if you take 60,000 IUs a day for like 3 months, you may get toxicity. Not you will, you might. And that means you'll get like nauseous or queasy. People won't read articles. They'll just read, taking a lot of vitamin D is dangerous and move on.
It's like a conspiracy that someone would do that. I mean, I do get patients that I'm trying to describe to them. They're asking me, you know, I put them on a vitamin D supplement or they have one and they're asking about it. And almost all of them aren't even taking the recommended dosage. Everyone goes below it because they feel like vitamin D is that dangerous to them. I'm like, where did you get this information from? Yeah. it's propaganda. I don't know where it started, but
I don't know where it starts either, but I do know just logically that there is vested interest in people not being very healthy. There's too much money in sick people. And that's what breeds like types of conspiracy theories. I'm not saying there's conspiracy theory. I'm just trying to think like there's just a lot of money to be made in people who aren't well. And vitamin D is just like, I mean, dollar for dollar, one of the most effective things you could be supplementing with because it just does so much and it's not expensive to get quality vitamin D3 supplements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or go outside, but you know, we can't go outside all day. We have other obligations. Can't control the weather. Most of us have to wear a lot of clothes when we're outside. A lot of us wear sunscreen anyway. So we're like filtering it. You know, we're not getting the full stimulation there to even make vitamin D. So it's a good thing to supplement with. And I would understand why certain, we'll call them industries as a whole, would rather us not be taking proper amounts of vitamin D. Because it works. Yeah. It's good. To get supplement.
Well, it is interesting how that kind of stuff comes out. I mean, I've been hearing, I see so many studies and research come out about COVID-19 and some alternative things you could do for it. And then that disappears, or, you know, like the chloroquine thing came out and something about the two husband and wife farmers who have like the biggest chloroquine, like whatever, I don't know, they collect the most of it or whatever.
They've collected the most hydrochloroquine? Because hydrochloroquine is like the medicine. So chloroquine is just like the raw substrate.
Yeah, that's the substrate. And they like were, they, this just happened apparently. I mean, they were like disappeared, you know, they were disappeared. For
what?
Whatever. Yeah, this crazy stuff comes out about this stuff.
Man,
and you hear about this stuff, it's like, well, why the heck is there some agency outlet trying to stop people from getting the information, good information for their health? It's crazy. I mean, but it makes sense though, people. I mean, you gotta know there are people working for good and there are people who are working for maybe their own personal good.
Some sub-level of good, yeah.
Yeah.
Less good, we'll say. Well, Nick, that's what the news told me. The news said too much vitamin D is dangerous. And what the article actually said was you have to take so much stinking vitamin D for
it's a crazy, couple months. That is like the same amount of vitamin D that they'll use for athlete studies of vitamin D. Mm-hmm. And they did a study about professional athletes taking, you know, these huge doses of vitamin D for extended periods of time for injury prevention.
Right.
And all the studies came out positive. Wow. If you take a huge dose of vitamin D for this many days, it will prevent you from getting injury.
Yeah. Make you far less likely to be injured. Want to know my theory on that?
Sure.
Well, athletes are kind of exceptional humans and their demand on their body is so much greater. So their demand on like the resources that you need to give your body are a lot higher because it depletes them. Like being an athlete is technically very stressful and resources that get used up in like stress processes, like metabolism, for example, you just use them up faster, right? That's the whole point of like Gatorade. Right? Gatorade's useful because an athlete uses up electrolytes and sugars much faster and water. So you want to replace that. Like Gatorade's good for an athlete, but Gatorade's not good for a non-athlete. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You don't need those extra sugars. You're not using them, but an athlete's depleting resources quicker. So I'd imagine like mega dosing as an athlete, like you're using up in all these metabolic processes, you're using up your resources much quicker. Whereas like someone who's not particularly challenging their body, you can get a vitamin D buildup over time since it is fat soluble. Like it can build up in the cells, but like which couch potato is going to be taking 60,000 IUs of vitamin D every day for months?
Yeah.
Why would they do that? That's like, That's a lot of vitamin D. You wouldn't take, you know, you wouldn't be taking one pill a day for that. You'd be intentionally doing it.
Yeah.
And that takes motivation.
Totally.
I don't know. That's pretty cool.
It does take a lot of motivation. Yeah. That being said, if you haven't taken vitamin D for a while, but you have it in your cabinet already, which a lot of people do, take a bunch today.
Take 6,000 a night. And with food, because it's fat soluble. And so you want to take it with some kind of fat. So it'll absorb better. Anyway, Nick, we're giving them the real advice here, the raw stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like we repeat some information a bunch, but it's only if you've listened, if you're a diehard cultivated being-er, I don't know. We don't have a...
Can our listeners be called cultivated beings?
Yeah. That makes more sense than what I said. if you are, and you're like, I think I've heard them talk about some of these themes before, it's because we have. And the reason why we do this all the time, I know it from one-on-one experience with all of my clients that they just haven't been told this enough.
Yeah, and I don't really learn things when I hear it one time. I mean, I do sometimes, but repetition's helpful to really just owning some material. And we're coming up on 100 episodes. We've probably talked about vitamin D no more than like 80 times or 80 yeah. episodes, you know? So,
you know what? This is why we're saying this stuff. You can save someone's life from chronic pain, chronic illness, by getting the right dosage of vitamin D. I have seen it, right? There's not a holy grail for everybody, but there's a holy grail for you, listener, right now. And it might be vitamin D. It also might be activation stimulation. I don't know.
Yeah, moving a little bit more. Could be breathing better. Studies show we're poor breathers. So getting back to early conversation, like oxygen in your cells, vital. More oxygen is typically healthier. Like you can have too much oxygen, it's possible, but not by breathing the atmosphere. So what you want to do is take a full breath, feel your ribs expand, feel your abdomen expand, try and get oxygen all the way down to your bottom lobe. Nick's doing it now.
Yeah, it felt good. You're talking about it. It's like my mouth was watering for a nice deep breath.
Try and, yeah, if you're listening, try and breathe in for like an 8-second count. Get it all the way in there. Start flooding yourselves with some oxygen and then go about your day. But deep breaths. And that's also true. Most people in this like quarantine type of time have been either in a computer more than they're like in front of a computer more than they're used to, or just like on their home couch, kind of slouched over more than they're used to. And so I'm seeing an increase in all kinds of things that could be quarantine related. So, you know, neck pain, muscle anxiety, stuff like that. But if you're in a position, one really good way to be like, is this posture supporting my body or is it maybe destructive to my body? Take a full breath. If it's hard to take a full breath, it's probably not a good posture. Does that make sense, Nick?
Well said, Jake.
So get in a posture that you know is good. Then take a full breath so you have a baseline. Okay, that's what it feels like, take a full breath. And then experiment with a different posture, you know, slouched on your, you know, on your couch or in your bed or whatever it is. Is it still easy to take a full breath? Then that's very likely a supportive posture for your body.
I think that was plenty of fantastic information. We got more for you. If you want more, come back next week. We got it. It's coming up. Or go back to like our previous 90 something episodes. It's coming your way.
You also can reach out to us directly at cultivatedbeing@gmail.com. Is that it?
Yeah, you've said that so many times.
I can only keep track of so many email accounts.
As you say this, also, I'm checking the email, so
you can reach out to me specifically at, through my website, drjakehyde.com. drjakehyde.com. That's where you'd find me and Nick's Inside Out Health.
Getinsideouthealth.com.
Getinsideouthealth.com. Reach out if you want to know more specifically. We'd like to hear from you. And we just hope you have just such a wonderful day or week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us in this. Thank you for taking initiative in your health. You know, I was thinking about this, Nick. People that are health oriented, you know, people that are health minded, in a way have already reached their health goals. Think about it, right? Because like, you don't get healthy in an instant. It's definitely a process. It takes time. But if you are at the moment oriented towards better health, then you've already nailed it. And you just know if you stay oriented that way, like you'll get there. You're on the path, so to speak. The goal is to be on the path. So if you're on the path, if you're listening to us, you probably are. Good for you. You guys did it. Go celebrate. All right.
All right. Well, love to you, Jake. Love to everybody else.
Man, I love you, bro.
Peace out, everybody.
Yep.